This morning, we got the opportunity to get a celebrity preacher to come and preach for us. Mark Crossman. Mark, if you can just come here. His wife is Linda over there. She's the one that was laughing so loudly. And his father and mother just over there. And Paul, that was my colleague last year. I must say, I've been dealing with a lot of Crossmen. You can only deal with two of them at a time, actually one of them at a time in a room. But there's so much Crossmen over here. I just had to go and sit there in the anointing at the moment. But Mark has been, he's been the youth pastor at Rhema for more than 10 years now. His wife was also a worship leader in the church over there. He was the guy who preached three years ago in Stellenbosch when the naked men came running on the stage. So if the ushers can just stand there on the side, we just want to make sure that we don't get funny surprises this morning. Mark, God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you.
I just want to say before we start this morning that you guys have a wonderful pastor. Pastor Theo is absolutely amazing. I love him to bits. He's got a great heart. He's a bit soft. He's a soft guy. At the office, I push him around a little bit when he tries to tell me what to do, but I'm making a man out of him. I love him very, very much. He's awesome. Look to the person next to you. Anybody, just look to the person next to you. Look them deep in the eye. I'm looking for a moment of intimacy here this morning. Just look them deep in the eye and say this: will you marry me? There we go. That was your opportunity, guys. Some of you missed that opportunity. God gives opportunities, and if we miss it, that's our own problem. I want us to quickly pray this morning. I believe with all of my heart that when we come into a service like this, it's our expectation that will determine how much God can do in our lives. The Bible says that Jesus could do no great works in his own hometown because the expectations were not there. So this morning, it's not about how great the service is or how great I am, but it's about where your expectations are this morning, because the word will accomplish that which I was sent out to do. So let's just close our eyes quickly this morning in this place. And Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, that you are in this place this morning. Lord, your word says that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you will dwell in their midst, Lord. Father God, I thank you that you are in this place this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this room this morning, and we do not take your presence for granted in this place. Lord, I thank you this morning that as we speak about you, Lord, as we lift you up in this place, Lord, we cannot lift you up in this place and not experience victory in our lives, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that as we lift you up as a banner over our lives, over our circumstances, over our weaknesses this morning, Lord, there is always going to be victory for the children of God in this place, Lord. Father God, I thank you this morning that we will not leave you the same, but that your word will come this morning and it will touch us and it will change us. And I thank you for what you're about to do in this place. And everybody said, amen. I'm not loud. The speakers are just loud. So don't blame me. It's the sound system this morning. Well, I am from Johannesburg. I am a lion. Hey, sorry for you guys from Pretoria. It's not going so well for you anymore. But I knew your reign of terror would come to an end. And my reign is beginning now as a lion. But anyways, I'm from Joburg. And holiday time is a very big time for people from Johannesburg. Okay, down here in the Cape, I've started to realize that, I don't know, it's kind of like holiday all the time. You know, it's like even church is kind of like holiday. You know, all we need is a couple of drinks and hey, there we are. There's the beach, there's the mountains. But in Joburg, we don't have that. We've got cars, we've got crowds, we've got buildings, we've got shopping malls. That's all we have there, okay? So the holiday time is a very important time if you come from Johannesburg. I mean, it's pretty critical that your holiday is a good one. And a couple of years ago, I'll never forget, me and my family go very, very excited. We were going to go to Plettenberg Bay. Has anybody ever been there? Yes, no. You guys look kind of angry. Some of you look very angry this morning. Okay, well, you're going to feel a bit better after the service, hopefully, this morning. But anyways, we got all excited, my wife, I, the kids, and we got into our car, and we were going to drive through to Plett, and our car is a faithful car. Our car never gives us hassles, so we knew that the car wouldn't give us any problems. So we got in the car and we started driving, and about, I don't know how far into the trip, hours and hours and hours of driving into the trip, finally I got tired, I handed over to my wife. My wife started driving. I'm not saying this is why the car broke. Please don't misunderstand me. My wife is a very, very good driver, so I'm not insinuating that at all. But a little bit into the trip, all of a sudden my wife woke me up and the car would not drive anymore, and there was smoke basically coming out of the front of the car. So like any man, I got out, I told her to open up the bonnet. I have no idea what's going on in the car. But as men, we feel we want to just kind of go and look at the engine. And we're kind of hoping that there's a big basic thing that's wrong. We're kind of hoping that there's a big pipe that says in and it's out, you know. But anyway, so I went and I looked around and I went to my wife and I said, honey, you know, with all my mechanical experience, I just can't seem to find the problem on this specific occasion. It must be something very specific. Only the car manufacturer will be able to identify this problem. So anyways, this is how our holiday starts. We drove through 100 little towns, but as fate so had it, we broke down in a place where no human being had ever been before. So there we were. We called the car towing company. I think it only took them 3 hours to get there because the closest place was a city miles away. They finally came. They got us. They towed us into the middle of Port Elizabeth. Beautiful little town. They took us into an area that was more frightening than Hillbrow, where I come from. And there we were, and we were at the mechanic, and the mechanic was a scruffy-looking guy. He looked like a bit of a gangster, but he came out eventually. He said, yeah, you know, I've looked at your car. We've identified the problem. So I said to him, fantastic, what's the problem? I'm thinking in my head, $1,000, you know, oh, it's not going to be great. That's the holiday money, $2,000 maybe, you know, God can provide. And the guy says, yeah, your problem is pretty much your engine. So I was like, yes, that's good. I kind of identified that when smoke started coming out of my engine. He goes, no, you don't understand. You need a whole new engine. The physical engine of your car needs to be out, and they need to put a new one in. So I thought, wow, okay, that doesn't sound great. What do engines go for nowadays? 5,000? I mean, I don't know. What can I get an engine for? So he goes, well, with your car, a brand new engine is going to cost 40,000 rand. So I was like, okay. But this part of town looks like you can get engines for cheaper than that. I'm sure you've got a whole bunch of engines stocked up there somewhere. So he says to me, but yeah, you know, you're a good guy. I'm like, yes, I am a good guy. He goes, I'll make you a deal. 25, labor included, you can go. So I'm like, okay, so is this a payment plan? Is this over 10 years? how does this work? So he says to me, no, I need 25,000 rand cash, and then I will fix your car for you. So I look at the tow truck driver, and I'm like, is this the best guy in PE? He goes, he definitely is. And him and the other tow truck drivers kind of high five. So anyways, I go outside. I tell my family, listen, I just need to go outside a little bit, get a bit of fresh air. I go outside, and there's a homeless person busy throwing up, and I basically fall next to this person, start crying, going, oh God, deliver me from this whole thing. So it was an awful situation. My auntie basically lives in PE. She then decides to come and pick us up, and she comes and picks us up. I then phone my parents. I say to them, listen, we're stranded. Can you please come and fetch us? So they say, no problem. We'll drive through. We're in PE. So now they're going to drive through in the van. I go to my auntie's house, and she's got like a million cats in her house, and I'm highly allergic to cats. So she says to me, don't worry. You've had a stressful time. Just take a little nap. 20 minutes into the nap, there's a cat wrapped around my face. Okay? I wake up, my car's broken, my engine's gone, my eyes are about to fall out of my head. I've got such a headache. And my auntie then says, I've got good news for you. It's also your granddad's 70th birthday today, and you're here by coincidence. So now we're going to go to that first. So we go to the family gathering. My parents come with a van. We have this little gathering. Finally, we come to an end. My dad says to me, listen, it's all going to be fine. It's going to work out. Let's just get to Plett and we'll reassess there. Get in the car, we start driving, we get to the Titsikama Forest. It's 10 past 12 at night. I've had quite a long day at this point. I've got cat hair stuck in my eyeballs, my car's broken. I just want to go back to Joburg where there is no holiday time, there's just work time. And then the car stops, my dad's car stops driving, the bus starts driving. My dad just gets completely quiet, silence. That's normally not a good sign. So we're all sitting there. We don't know what to do. We look at my dad and we say, Dad, what just happened? So my dad looks at all of us and he goes, we just ran out of petrol. So it's been a good day so far. Now it's 12 o'clock at night. We're in the Titsikama Forest and our car's also run out of petrol. In the midst of all the excitement, we forgot to put petrol in the car that has an engine. Apparently, that one needs petrol. So my dad then decides he's going to go get a payphone, gets out the car, starts walking down the highway. He's gone for hours. We don't know if pirates got him. What's busy happening? We're getting nervous in this car. Next thing you know, I see my dad running down the highway at a high speed. And all I can see is as the cars drive past, the lights kind of catch his face. And he's like this, paping down the highway. So he finally gets back in the car. I say to him, Dad, what happened? He said, no, baboons are chasing me and barking at me. So it wasn't the greatest time ever. We eventually got to our holiday destination. We were so excited. First thing I wanted to do was go to the bathroom. I went to the bathroom. The door of the bathroom broke, and I was stuck in the second story of a place with a little window this small, and I couldn't get out. So at some stage, I was hanging off the roof, trying to get out of the bathroom, cat hair still in my eyes. It was a fantastic holiday. I went back home really refreshed after this wonderful holiday. But there was a moment in all of this that you start to question life a little bit. You start to wonder what's it all about. You start to wonder, is there a voodoo doll of my face up somewhere in a pub? And are they throwing darts at this thing? And in my moment of need, I turned to the Word, the Bible, as we do. And I'd like for you to turn there with me this morning. And turn with me to the book of James. And I needed something. Needed something to lift me up. So I went to the Bible, the place we go when we need a lift up. So I went to the book of James, and I'd like for you to read that first piece of scripture there. And it says this, James 1 verses 1 says the following. And this is now in my time of need, and it says, verse 2 I'm going to read from. It says here, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I get into a certain space, when I get into a certain situation, where I don't want people to give me the answer. I just want to be sad, and I want to moan, and I want to complain, and I want people to look at me and go, we understand what you're going through. We feel sorry that your life is so tough. Sometimes that's all you want. Are you with me? Nobody's with me. I'm the only guy that goes through this. Okay, well, as Joburgers, we go through this sometimes. We just want people to feel sorry for us. We haven't won a game in 100 years, so that's kind of how it goes. And I read this piece of scripture, and you know this, James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I mean, I don't know about you, but there are times when I read my Bible where I almost think to myself, is this a misprint? Okay? Did somebody make a mistake here? Did James miswrite it? Was the Bible misinterpreted? What is he talking about when he says count it all joys when we fall into various trials? What a challenging piece of scripture. And I believe with all my heart today that every single one of us can relate to the fact that at some point or another in your life, I don't care who you are, I don't care where you come from, you are going to find yourself in situations that are not perfect. Are you with me this morning? I really need a couple of amens. I'm going to encourage you to, I'm just going to pull it out of you this morning. We did a personality assessment yesterday, me and my wife, and apparently I need a lot of encouragement. It's a weakness of mine, so just encourage me, okay? But what I want to do this morning is I want to look at this, and I want to look at I want to give us a little bit of a different perspective this morning when it comes to tests and trials. Obviously, in the book of James, James understands something about tests and trials that maybe we don't understand. And after this all happened, I did a bit of a study on it. And this morning, I want to give you a little bit of a different perspective of what God is busy doing when we go through tests and trials. A couple of things I want to look at here quickly is, and I don't really want to focus on this morning, but I just want to set a bit of a foundation. One of the things I want to look at is why do we go through tests and trials? Why do we go through tests and trials? I think there's a lot of teaching in the church on this topic. There's a lot of teaching around it. But this morning, I just quickly want to look at one or two things. First thing I want to say is that every choice has a consequence. Choices have consequences. And I think that's the first thing I want to quickly look at this morning. The reality is this morning that if you don't put petrol in your car, the car is going to stop at some point. That's not necessarily the devil attacking you. Are you with me? If you don't put petrol in your car, somebody with me. I'll give you an example. I made a very, very bad decision a couple of weeks ago, and I'm paying a very dear price for it now. I went to Standard Bank and they told me that they can offer me this new thing on my cell phone where every time money gets put in or out of my account, I get an SMS on my cell phone. So the lady told me about it and I got very excited about it. I thought, wow, what a great thing. I can see when money comes in and out. So what happens is every time somebody takes money out of my account, I get an SMS. I thought it was a fantastic idea at the time. Little did I remember that my wife has a card that is linked to my account. So basically what happens now is every time my wife spends money on my account, I get an SMS on my cell phone. It's gotten to the point now where about four times a day, I hear that little teet teet, and I check my phone, and basically there's less money in that account. It has become a painful exercise for me. And it's actually at a point now at the office where when I get a cell phone, tee-dee-tee-dee, the guys laugh and they go, Linda's at the shops again. And I'm like, yes, she is. Buying us stuff that we really, really need. So first of all, we need to be careful with some of the decisions we make. I love you, my babe. Secondly, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, verses 12, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against higher principalities. I think we need to understand as Christians this morning that there is an enemy and we are in a fight. I don't think we always understand that. And what I love about this piece of scripture is the Bible says our battle is not against flesh and blood. Listen, what are you made of? Flesh and blood. So I want to say this, and we don't understand this enough. The battle is not even against yourself. I think sometimes when things start to go wrong in our lives, we are so quick to try to figure out, what have I done wrong? Where's my mistake? What must I fix? What must I correct? I want to say to you this morning that there is an enemy and he will come up against us. There's a piece of scripture where Jesus speaks to his disciples and he says, listen, I'm going to make you a promise. Here's a promise you don't hear in church too often. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. That's a promise. As children of God, we are in a fight. We are in a war. That's the reality of it. Now, we have victory in this fight, but the fact of the matter is that we are in a fight. And the Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. I think sometimes we want to complicate things. We want to take every little thing and analyze it and overanalyze it. But I think it's that simple this morning. We serve a good God. We serve an awesome God. We serve a God that is on our side. But the Bible says there is an enemy and he will at times come to kill, steal, and destroy. The Bible goes on to say that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But that doesn't mean the weapon won't be formed. Are you with me this morning? There are going to come times where weapons will come against us. I believe with all my heart this morning that God has a plan for my life. I believe with all my heart this morning that God has a plan for your life. And I believe that the devil has a plan as much as God does, and this is his plan. He wants to get you to do anything but follow the plan that God has for your life this morning. The Bible says in the book of James, I'm not going to go there now, but book of James 1 verses 6 to 8, it says that a double-minded man can receive nothing from the Lord. A double-minded man can receive nothing from the Lord. I believe with all of my heart that it's in those times of tests and trials. It's in those times where things are not perfect. It's in those times where things are not going the way we planned or the way we thought, that is the perfect time when the enemy will come and he will try to get you to a place where you start to doubt. And I think the number one thing he will do is he will try to get you to doubt whether God is for you or whether God is against you. I think it's very easy to sit here this morning and say, oh, no, man, I believe God is good. I believe God is on my side. But isn't it amazing how when things start to go wrong, the first thing you start to question is God for me? Does God now want to do something against me? And I think it's important that we understand that he will come and he will try to get us to a place where we're double-minded. Jeremiah 29:11, one of my best pieces of scripture. God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts to prosper you, thoughts to give you a hope, and thoughts to give you a future. I love how he says that. I love how God says, listen, you might be a little confused right now. You might not know what I'm thinking towards you. But I know, says the Lord, what my plan is for your life. And it's a good plan, and it's an awesome plan, and I want to prosper you, and I want to take you to where you need to be. Are you with me this morning? I'm getting excited in this place. So first of all, I do believe that we can make bad decisions at times. We live in a real world with real consequences. Like I said, if I choose to jump off the roof this morning, I am going to break my leg. I remember years ago when I first became a Christian, I was sitting by my swimming pool, and I was filled with faith, man. I was in Bible school and I was ready to take on the world. And I'll never forget, I was sitting next to my swimming pool and I thought to myself, I'm going to walk on water today, okay? Just because I can, because Jesus did it, so I can do it. And then after that, I'm going to go to the morgue and we're going to raise the dead. So this was now my off day and this is what I wanted to do. And I'll never forget, I went and I stood in front of the swimming pool and I had my swimming costume on and I was ready for this thing and I prayed in tongues a little bit and I was like, just me by myself, by my house. I mean, I don't know why God would do this, but okay, in my head, this was going to happen. Obviously, I fell into the water. I got wet. I then got out of the swimming pool. I went back to my little tanning, and then it hit me. It struck me. Wait a minute. Walking over water in your swimming costume isn't faith. Give me a break. I need to go put on some clothes. Okay, so I went back to the house. I put on my best outfit. I put on my nice shoes. I got everything ready. I got dressed in a suit, brushed my hair. I was like, here we go. Here we go. A hero will be born today kind of vibe. So I stood in front of the pool. It was all ready. There was a nice song on the radio. I looked at the dog. The dog was kind of like, kind of looked away. I took a step in and I ruined my shoes forever that day because I fell into the swimming pool. But that's the reality of it. We live in a real world with real laws, with real consequences. And if we are stupid sometimes, those consequences will catch up with us. Secondly, this morning, there is an enemy, and that enemy will do what he can to derail us from the call that God has placed upon our lives. So what I want to do quickly is I want to give us a bit of a different perspective this morning. I don't know if you're ready for this, but I want to give you a bit of a different perspective. And the Bible says, rejoice in the midst of a trial. And so, by the way, the title of my message this morning is Test and Trials. Very creative. I thought about it for hours, but that's what I came up with. Test and Trials. So what I want to do this morning is I want to give you 6. I want to give you 6 things this morning to think about when you are going through your hard times, to think about what you are going through when you are going through your tests and trials, because I believe if we can change our perception, God can use those times really to do something great in our lives. I'm using Pastor Fred's slot this morning. He preached for 1 hour and 20 minutes the last time he was here, so I've got another hour. So I'm just kidding. First thing I want to say this morning about tests and trials, when we look at tests and trials, hard times can bring us closer to God. Hard times can bring us closer to God. I believe this morning that there's nothing more important in this world than the relationship we have with Christ. There's nothing more important than it. It is in that relationship with Him where we will discover who it is that we are. It is in that relationship with Him that we will be empowered and equipped to move forward and to have victory in this life. I believe that hard times, tests and trials can be a time that God can use to draw you closer to Him. Daniel 3, if you will turn there with me this morning. Daniel 3. Daniel 3. I'm not going to read all of it to you this morning, but I'm just going to set the platform here. Daniel 3, are you with me this morning? Are you excited? Are you going through a test and trial? Well, get happy, get excited, because God's doing something in your life. Daniel 3, verses 15, it says here, now if you are ready at the time, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. I love these three guys. One day when I make it to Hollywood, I will make a movie about these three guys. This is what they say. This is now Shadrach. We do not feel the need to answer you in this matter. Verse 17, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, I love this, if not, listen, if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And what basically happens in this piece of scripture is these three Hebrew boys or found themselves in a situation where they're called in front of the king, and the king basically says to them, listen, if you do not bow down and worship the gods that I place before you, I am going to put you into a fiery furnace. Now, the The part of the story that always confuses me is, where are they when this takes place? Why is there a furnace there? Does the king have a fiery furnace in his living room, or are they standing in the kitchen at this point? I don't really know, but what we do know is there's a big oven in this room, and the king says, I'm going to throw you into the oven. I've got a question for you this morning. I don't know what you're going through, but who has been thrown into an oven lately? Yes, amen. Amen. Some of you have been in an oven. Well, I don't know how bad your situation is this morning. I don't know how bad your circumstances are this morning. But I want to almost take a bet that it's not quite as bad as being thrown into an oven that is the hottest oven you've ever seen. And what happens in this piece of scripture, I love this, is these three Hebrew boys get taken. They refuse to bow down to the foreign gods, and they get thrown into the fiery furnace. They say that this oven is so hot that even when people got close to it, they got burnt up. Yet these three get thrown into the furnace. The king is all happy with himself. He kind of chuckles, kind of looks to the people next to him, his minions, and he says to them, that's what happens if you don't do what I say. You burn. So one of the guys says, king, there's a problem. Look in the fire. And the king goes, okay. And the guy says, they are literally now walking around in the fire, okay. And the king is like, this is not what I planned. They were supposed to burn out. Now they're having a little picnic in there. They're having fun in there. Okay, there's little rides and little things they're doing in there. And the Bible says, I love this. Verse 25, it says this. This is the king. And he says, look, he answered, I see four men loose in the fire, walking in the midst of the fire. And they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. How amazing is this piece of scripture? Right there in the Old Testament, long before Jesus came to the earth, the Bible says that these three Hebrew boys get taken, they get thrown into the midst of a fiery furnace, and not only do they not get burnt up in this fiery furnace, but the Bible says that Jesus, the Son of Man, is walking around in the midst of this fire with them. How amazing is that for a piece of scripture? And you know, and I believe, as I was reading this, I want to say this to you this morning. They had to go through the fire before they could see the Messiah. Oh, that's like a rap song. Come on, somebody. I'm going to launch an album soon. Okay? This is what it says here. They had to go through the fire before they could see the Messiah. And I thought about this as I read this piece of scripture. The Messiah was the biggest promise that God gave to Israel. That was the promise. Everybody was excited about the promise. There was no promise bigger than the promise of the Savior. There was no promise bigger than the promise of God coming and saving His people. And here these three Hebrew boys, in their worst circumstances, in the midst of the fiery furnace, experiences an aspect of God's promise that nobody else in Israel experiences it, but they experience it in the midst of the fire. And I want to say to you this morning that, man, God has put some dreams in your hearts this morning. God has made you some promises this morning. And I know there's some of you sitting here this morning and maybe you're going through the fire and you're thinking to yourself, I am so far from what I believe God has promised in my heart. I'm so far from what I believe God said that He would do. But maybe, just maybe this morning, God is getting ready to do something great in your life. And maybe, just maybe this morning, it's in the midst of that fire that the promise God made you will be unlocked. And you'll actually experience it the way He promised you. The three Hebrew boys experienced God's promise as they were going through the fire. Second thing I want to look at you quickly this morning. First thing is, hard times can bring us closer to God. You know, it's funny that it doesn't say that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experienced Jesus when they were at the temple in a church service. And I'm not saying don't come to church. Please, don't misquote me here. But what I'm saying is that they experienced a closeness to God that they had never experienced in any other time before when they were going through their worst times. Does God bring those times? Absolutely not. Can God use those times? Absolutely He can. And I'll tell you why, because God is an artist. And God can use whatever there is to His availability, and He will use it. He will use the scrap metal of your life. He will use the old paint of your life. He will use the broken canvas. He will use the messed up brushes. And He will use all of those things, and He will make you a painting that is the most beautiful painting you've ever seen, because God is the master artist, and God will use whatever is at His disposal this morning. Amen. Okay, hard times can bring us closer to God. Number two this morning, the way we react in hard times can and will bring glory to God. The way we react in hard times can and will bring glory to God. You know, it's funny for me how as Christians, Our number one desire, as most of us as Christians, is we want to touch and reach other people. Am I right? We want to be used by God. We want to do great things for God. We want to go and we want to see people's lives be changed. But you know what I've realized? I've realized that we are living in a time and we are living in a generation where people are not that interested in what you have to say. Because everybody is saying a lot of stuff. We are living in a postmodern society where your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth. If you believe in Jesus, fantastic for you, well done. I believe in whatever I believe in, and we need to respect one another. And I believe we're moving into a time that what people are going to look at is your life. It is your life that is going to be the message. It is your life that is going to change people's lives. And I believe with all of my heart this morning, and I'm not putting down what you're going through this morning. I'm not trying to patronize your situation this morning by being just, you know, just going over it. But what I want to say is this. The way we react in those times can give us an opportunity to really be a testimony to people in their lives. I believe God will give us the grace to endure through those times. Daniel 3, verses 28. Look at what happens here. Look at what happens here. The king throws these Hebrew boys into the fire because he's sick of them and he wants to get rid of them. And then look at verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own." Listen to this. "Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amidst against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces." He's had it with the oven. He's going to the cutting now, okay? "They will not be thrown in the oven, they'll be cut to pieces," okay? "And their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Come on. There is no other God that can deliver like the God we serve this morning. And I want to say to you this morning that it's in those times, it's in those tests, that people will look at our lives and it will give us the opportunity really to stand out. When I was younger, I really believed that I was a surfer, okay? I remember I was a lot skinnier than I am now. And I remember going to the beach and I always thought to myself, man, they should make a surf video about my life. And the video should stop just before I go into the ocean, okay? The video should be me waxing the board and just kind of lying on the beach. And just before I go in, the video stops. It doesn't matter how much guts I think I have. Every time I go into the ocean and that wave comes, those big waves, I feel like I'm going to die. It's frightening. It's scary. And the worst thing is when you're out there with a bunch of guys that know what they're doing and this big wave comes and you're like, oh my word, I'm going to die. And you see a guy next to you going, yes. And he takes that wave, and he just starts taking that wave, and he shows off, and he just shows people what they do. I want to say this to you this morning. A big wave to me spells danger, but to a surfer, it's an opportunity to show off. To a surfer, it's an opportunity to show off. I want to say to you this morning that as children of God, yes, maybe there might come situations that to other people would spell danger, but to us, it's just another opportunity to give our God the time to show off and show everybody what he's made of. Are you with me this morning? So number one, hard times can bring us closer to God. Number two, the way we react in those times can bring glory to God. Look at what happens in the story. Number three, oh man, I love this. Hard times, you see him come through supernaturally. It's in those times where you see him come through supernaturally. You know, it's funny, but there's two things I've noticed in Christians, specifically when they first get born again. Christians want to be used by God. They want to touch people. They want to go out there. They want to change the world. But the other thing we want to see in our lives as Christians, specifically young believers, is we want to see the signs. We want to see the miracles. We want to see the power of God in action in our lives. Like me when I wanted to walk on water over the swimming pool. But what I've come to realize is very often, the breeding ground for miracles is not necessarily the most comfortable situation for you. As we see with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like I said, here they experienced the greatest miracle of their lives, but it did not happen Sunday morning while they were watching cricket and drinking tea, okay? It happened when they were going through the midst of a fiery furnace. I think about the story of Moses and the Israelites going through the desert. And just the things that happened there. The Bible says that their shoes actually grew with their feet. They believe that the people, there were millions of them and they were fed. And the amounts of food, I read a study on this where they were speaking about the amounts of food that God would have to make available and water and resources. I mean, unbelievable how God just took this group of people to where they needed to go. And we read that sometimes as Christians, and we get so excited about the power of God, the miracle-working ability of God. But what we don't seem to realize is that when this was happening, they were homeless. They were homeless during this time. They were homeless, they were foodless, they were clueless, they were directionless, they didn't know where we were going. And I think sometimes we seem to think as Christians that it's only when I've got it all together, it's only when I'm at my strongest that I'm going to see God coming through in a supernatural way in my life. It's only when I've prayed for 100 hours and it's only when I've got it all figured out. I want to say to you this morning that the greatest miracles in this book took place with people and in times when they didn't have it all figured out, when it wasn't all perfect, because that's the breeding ground for an almighty God to step in and say, hey, I'm going to come and I'm going to do what I need to do in your life. Are you with me this morning? I love this. The Bible says in Psalm 23 verses 5, He will provide a meal for you in the midst of your enemies. He will provide a table for you, a meal for you in the midst of your enemies. What a beautiful piece of scripture. A couple of months ago, my wife and I, it's almost a year ago now, my wife and I basically decided we were going to put in our resignations at our job and we were going to leave our job because we feel God has something different for us. At that point in time, we had nothing else figured out. We didn't know where we were going. We didn't know how it was going to work out. We sold our house. We quit our jobs. We had a little bit of money in our pockets, and we were like, we're just going to go see what happens, because we feel like our time at the church is up. And I'll tell you one thing. There were times where I was so nervous, where I was so scared, where I was so frustrated. There were times where I even yelled at God. I'm not going to lie to you. Where I actually even told God, I've had it with you now as well, because what's happening here? Where are you? What's going on in my life? But I can honestly say to you that I've never seen God come through and provide for me like He has over the last couple of months. Because as long as I was earning a salary, as long as everything was great, hey, it was great. But the second I put myself in a situation where I could not look anywhere else, I could not depend on anybody else, God came and He stepped into my life. I remember the one day I was filling up petrol. I went to the petrol station, and just before I left to go to the petrol station, I asked my wife, is there money on the petrol card? And she assured me, I promise you, there's money on the petrol card. And I actually said to her, are you sure? Because I don't want to be stuck somewhere without petrol in my car. No. There's definitely petrol in the petrol, money on the petrol card. So I said to her, can we fill the car up? She said, yes, absolutely, you can fill the car up. So I drove out to some place. I finally stopped at this little petrol station. I got out of my car. I had the petrol card, and the guy came to me, said to me, how much must I fill up? And it was the weirdest thing. I wanted to say to him, fill it up to the top. But then I just had this thing of, tell him 200 rand. So I was like, you know what, just give me 200 rand. Fine, just put in 200 rand. I had my card, I went in. And as I went in, a friend of mine that I know from church walked into the shop there. And he said to me, hey, how's it going? And I was fine, fantastic. It was completely random that I saw him at this place. I mean, it was far away from the church. It was way out there. He had to go see a client or something. It was just a weird coincidence. So we were happy to see each other. I went back to my car, and the guy had filled the car up with 200 rand, and I gave him my petrol card, and I knew for a fact that there was money on the card because my wife told me there was. And he came back to me, and he said to me, the card declined. So I was like, okay. So I said to him, run the card again. He ran it again. He said, sir, the card, she is declined. Okay, so I said to him, run it again. He ran it again. Three times it was declined. Finally, I realized that there was no money on this thing. My friend had driven off, and I'm sitting there, and I don't know what to do. And next thing you know, I get a knock on the window. It's my friend. He says, hey, man, I'm so sorry for being disobedient to the Lord. But while I was in the shop there, I felt God say to me, I need to give you 200 rand. So here's 200 rand. He gave it to me in my hand. So the petrol guy at this point is like, whoa, this is freaky. What's going on here? So he gave it to me. I said, thanks. He left, and I gave it to the petrol guy. I'm like, there we go. There's the petrol money. So he was like, hey, this is funny voodoo stuff, this. Okay. So he wasn't very happy. But it was in that moment where God came through supernaturally. Tests and trials will produce opportunities for God to come through supernaturally in your life. Are you with me this morning? Quickly, I'm moving along. Number one, hard times can bring us closer to God. Number two, the way we react in hard times will and can bring glory to God. Number three, it's in those hard times that we see God come through supernaturally. Come back with me to the book of James, because this is actually awesome what James says here. Hard times will produce perseverance in your life. Hard times will produce perseverance in your life. Look at what it says here. Who of you would like to be this morning at a place where you are lacking absolutely nothing. Nothing. Amen? I'd like that. Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to show you how to get there. Check out what it says here. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Listen to this. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Okay? So the process to getting to a place where we are lacking nothing in our lives is that process where God at times has to take us through different things. I put this here because I really believe this is true. Happiness is something that we are very, very focused on as people. I think we want to be happy. We want to be happy all the time. It's important that we're happy. But I want to say this. Joy is not based upon circumstances. Happiness is. Happiness is an emotion that is purely based upon circumstances. And I don't think God is as concerned with our happiness as He is with our character and as He is with a true joy. I believe this morning with all of my heart that there is a joy that you can have in your life that goes way beyond just your circumstances and what you have and what you don't have in your life. The Bible says in Galatians that one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. One of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Listen to me. The Bible doesn't say that it's your fruit, okay? The Bible doesn't say that joy is your fruit. It says joy is the fruit of the Spirit that lives on the inside of you. And I used to believe for a very long time that what that scripture was saying is as a Christian, I need to produce joy in my life. Okay, there are times where I feel unhappy, but as a Christian, I've got to be like, hey, I'm feeling fine. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is that there is a joy that lives on the inside of you that cannot be stopped, that cannot be tamed, that will not dwindle, and that joy will be there in spite of your circumstances. And as we connect with the Spirit that's on the inside of us, we gain access to a joy that is not based upon circumstances, but based upon who He is. Are you with me this morning? Oh, that's good stuff. Come on. Come on. I'm going to buy my own tape after this. Okay? There's a joy. There's a joy on the inside of us. God is more interested in your character than sometimes your happiness. Romans 8 verses 28. Come there with me quickly. We're almost done this morning. And everybody said, you were supposed to say, oh. Romans 8, 28 says this. They asked me beforehand whether I had slides, and I said to them, I absolutely don't have slides because I know everybody in Somerset West has a Bible. Just kidding. Romans 8 verses 28 says this, and we know that all things, say this this morning, all things, my thing falls into all things, doesn't matter what it is, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Bible says here this morning that all things work together for those who are called according to God's purpose. All things, not just some things, not just the good things, but all things, even the bad things. I remember a couple of years ago, I went to a friend's house, and this guy's mother was into dried flowers. I don't know if you've seen those flowers that they dry pretty much, but you can do... Is that a 10? Is that 10 out of 10 for my preaching? Is that a 10 minutes left? Okay, I'm almost done. I thought she was judging me, like at the Olympics. 9.5. I'm like, okay. Okay. You got a 10. Yay. Okay. But she had these dried flowers, and what she would do is she had them all over the place, and they were beautiful. And I actually said to her, how do you make these dried flowers? And she said to me, cool, I'll come and show you. And what she did is she took this beautiful fresh flower, and she took this massive book, and she put the flower in there, and she crushed it. I mean, it was brutal. I got a little frightened when I saw how this lady was carrying on. She was jumping on the book, and she was crushing it, and she took a belt, and she tied it. And I mean, she was really destroying that book. I was like, man, I'm happy I'm not that flower. Okay, she was really crushing it. But what she showed me then was, if you leave it there for long enough, it comes out like this. And she took an older one out, and it was beautiful. It had kept its shape. And it even kept some of its colors. And it was amazing when I saw that God just spoke to me about the fact that if you take a flower and you put it into a vase with water, in 1 week that flower will be dead, it will be rotten, it will be finished. But when you take it and you crush it like that, you put it into a state where you can use that flower for years and years to come. Now, I'm not saying that God wants to crush us this morning, but I believe with all of my heart that just like with those dried flowers, God can use anything. God can use the crushing situation that you're in to get you to a place where you have perseverance and where you have character. Moving right along, I'm almost done here this morning. Number one, hard times can bring us closer to God. Number two, hard times can give us an opportunity to minister to others. Number three, hard times you see Him come through supernaturally. Number four, hard times will produce perseverance in your life. Number five, hard times will show you what is in you. Hard times will show you what is in you. A couple of years ago, after 9/11, September 11th, when the buildings came down, I was watching an Oprah Winfrey show. And I just want to clarify right here that I do not watch Oprah. This one time was just a mistake. I was trying to find the rugby and my finger slipped. And as I pressed the button, the remote battery fell out. And, you know, my leg was asleep. So I was forced to watch it for a couple of minutes. And I watched it and they had a show about what had happened at 9/11. And they basically had testimonies from different people that had been involved in 9/11. And I'll never forget as long as I live this one. They did this little show on a guy that was in the building. He was a chef in the building at the time. And basically how it was is he was a Marine in the Army. And then after he had been a Marine, he decided to kind of take it easy. And he became a chef. And he was working in the Twin Towers. I'm sorry, I get a little choked up every time I tell the story. And how the story goes is that this man lost his life the third time. I'm sorry, it just really inspires me, the story. He lost his life the third time he ran back into the building to pull out people that couldn't come out. And it was just amazing for me to watch how, as I was watching the story, I just had this image of this man in the chef clothing, you know, running into this building. And it was so funny to me that he might have looked like a chef on the outside, but the Marine on the inside came out on that day. And in Colossians, okay. I'm not watching Oprah right now. No need to cry. The Marine came out when the chef was put in a situation where it needed to come out. Colossians 1 verses 27 says that our hope of glory is Christ that lives on the inside of us. And I want to say to you this morning that there is a God that lives on the inside of you that is stronger, that is bigger, that is mightier than anything you're ever going to face, than anything that you're ever going to come up against. And I believe that sometimes what happens is that when times are tough, when things get tough, what starts to come out in your life is not you and what you are on the outside, but the God and His ability that lives on the inside of you. And I get so excited when I think about that. 1 John 4 verses 4 says this, greater is He that lives in you than he who lives in the world. Years ago, we came to Cape Town and we were playing with some cheetahs. And they had Spear, they had some cheetahs and they were grown up and we were playing with them. And the lady was chatting with us and she said to us, listen, it's quite interesting that cheetahs can be tamed, but you cannot tame a lion. Just interesting, she was saying this, that lions cannot be tamed. And as she said that, I was just starting to think about the fact that the Bible says that the devil walks around like a lion, seeing who he can devour. There might be times in your life where you can actually feel like the devil's walking around like a lion. But the Bible goes on to say that Jesus is the Lion of Judah. And I want to say to you this morning that there is a lion that lives on the inside of you this morning that cannot be tamed, that will not be tamed, that cannot be stopped, that isn't fearful when we are fearful, that has a supernatural faith even when we feel that we want to doubt. And I believe that it's in those times sometimes when we start to look at what lives on the inside of us that we will experience the power of God that we've never experienced before. Last one this morning. Blessed is the man who endures. Blessed is the man who endures. Come with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 12. And I want to end with this morning. Hebrews 12. And this is how we overcome this morning. Hebrews 12. Verses 1 to 2. And I believe this morning that all of us are on a race. All of us are on a journey. We're all moving to where God is busy taking us. And this is what it says here. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Okay, that's a beautiful piece of scripture, but how do I do that? We all want to run the race with endurance this morning. We all want to get to where God is calling us this morning, but how do we actually do that? And listen to what he says in verse 2. Looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And what the Bible says here this morning is the way we get through these times, the way we persevere, the way we get to where we need to go to, is we need to look at Christ. We need to put our focus on Jesus. And I believe with all my heart this morning that sometimes when the storms of life come up, it is so easy to be distracted. It is so easy to look at our circumstances. I do it on a daily basis. So I'm not telling you that I'm perfect here this morning. But I believe that if we can learn to, in those times, when things do not work out, when we can put our focus on Christ, when we can put our focus on who He is, that is what will get us to the place where we will do what we need to do. It says here this morning that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Our faith is found in Him. Are you with me this morning? As we look at Him, He starts to generate a supernatural faith in us. It's the same as with joy. We don't try to produce our own faith. Your faith is here today, gone tomorrow. I believe in this chair today, not tomorrow. It's frivolous. But if we look at Christ, He becomes the author and the finisher of our faith. There's a greater faith, a bigger faith, a mountain-moving faith that will start to arise on the inside of you as you look to Him this morning. And look at what it goes on to say here, and then I'm done. And it says here, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. I've read that piece of scripture so many times, and so many times I've said to God, what was the joy that was set before Him? Bible says that Jesus was capable of going through the toughest thing that anyone has ever gone through because of the joy that was set before Him. The Bible says that as He was carrying that cross, as He was being mocked, as He was being scorned, as people were hitting Him and spitting on Him, there was something under those circumstances that enabled Him to do what He did. There was something that enabled Him to go to the cross. And the Bible says it was the joy that was set before Him. He was focused on the joy that was set before Him. And I asked Him one day, I said, God, what was that joy? And He said to me, you. You were the joy that was set before Him. You were the joy. He was capable. He was enabled to do what He did because His focus was you. He had you on His mind when He went to the cross. And I believe this morning that it's when we find ourselves under those circumstances where life is tough, we need to do what He did. As He had us on His mind, we need to go through this life with Him on our mind. And as we put Him first, as we put our focus on Him, as we think about the cross, as we think about Christ, I believe that we will be able to endure and push through anything the world has to throw at us. I'd like us to stand this morning, please. Let's stand. Let's stand and let's just close our eyes in this place. And this morning, Father God, I just want to thank You for who You are in this place, Lord. Lord Jesus, I want to thank You this morning that You are so much bigger, You are so much greater than anything we will ever face in this world, Lord. Father, I thank You this morning that greater are You who lives on the inside of me than he who lives in the world, Father. Lord God, this morning I thank You that I have access to a peace that surpasses all human understanding. I thank You that I have access to a joy that is so much greater than the circumstances I might be facing. I thank You, Lord, for Your equipping this morning in this place. Holy Spirit, I want to pray right now that if there are people in this place this morning and maybe they're hurting this morning, maybe they're doubting this morning, maybe they are in fear this morning, maybe they are anxious this morning, maybe they just feel tired, Lord. They just feel tired of the waves crashing over and over again, and it just doesn't seem like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. This morning, Father, I thank You, Lord, that You can use anything to glorify Yourself this morning. I thank You that You can use every circumstance to get us to where we need to go. Father, I just thank You right now, just for every person in this place. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Holy Spirit, just for Your presence in this place this morning. Father, I thank You just that we can focus on You. Focus on You. This morning, what I want you to do, just for a couple of seconds, and the band can just softly play in the background here. What I want you to do is, we're all going through stuff. We all have things that we're trusting and believing God for, but what I want you to do right now, just for a minute this morning, and then we'll conclude the service. I want you to think about those things which you think you can't handle anymore, you can't endure anymore, things that you've been trusting God for. And just this morning, give it to Jesus. Just give it to Him this morning. And just thank Him that it's done this morning. Thank Him this morning that He is working it out on your behalf. Thank him this morning. Don't ask him, but thank him, because it's already done. It's already done. He's already worked it out. He's already worked it out. I believe this morning that everything starts in the spiritual and then it works its way into the natural. He's already working behind the scenes on your behalf this morning. He's already started opening up doors this morning that you're not even aware of. He's already started putting things in motion this morning that you don't even understand. And as we thank him this morning, as we just glorify him this morning, we'll start to see those things just come into our lives. Father, I want to thank you this morning. I want to thank you this morning just in this place for peace. I just thank you that if there are people in this place this morning that are just feeling anxious, they're feeling worried, thank you for peace, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The Bible says this morning that he is faithful to complete the work that he has started on the inside of you. There's no me in he. It's all him this morning. He says he will do the work that he has started on the inside of you this morning. He will take you to where you need to go this morning. And there might be a whole bunch of rubbish in your life right now, but he will take it and he will make it work for your good this morning, because that's just who he is. If you're in this place this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, then we want to take this opportunity this morning to pray for you. If you're in here this morning and maybe during the praise, maybe during the worship, maybe during the service, as you were sitting there, you just felt in your heart this morning that you're far from God. You're not living for him. You're not in his purpose for your life this morning. And maybe you sat there this morning, you felt to yourself, man, I've come to church before. I've heard about the story of this guy called Jesus, but I never believed in him. I never gave my life to him. I was never committed to him. You see, there's a difference between knowing about somebody and actually being in a relationship with somebody. And this morning, God is not okay with you just knowing about him. He wants to know who you are this morning. He wants to have a relationship with you this morning. Maybe you're standing here this morning, you say to me, Pastor Mark, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to become a Christian. But you don't understand what has happened to me in my life. You don't understand how bad I've been. You don't understand the things that I've done. Listen, he's standing here this morning with his arms wide open saying, come to me, everybody that needs me to save them. He's not judging you this morning. He loves you this morning, and he died for you this morning, and he wants you to be a part of his family this morning. He wants to adopt you as a son and as a daughter this morning. So if that's you this morning, you say to me, Pastor Mark, I really want to give my life to Christ this morning. I've never done it before. Then when I count to three this morning, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you and you want to give your life to Christ, then I want you to quickly slip up your hand, because I'm going to pray for you. When I count to three, nobody looking around right now. This is between you and God. So 1, 2, 3. Just slip it up quickly if that's you. I want to give my life to Christ this morning. If there's anybody like that this morning, I've come to church, I've been in religion my whole life, but I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If there's anybody like that this morning, just quickly slip your hand up. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you at the back there. Okay, this is what I want you to do. If you've raised your hand, you can put it down. If you raised your hand this morning, then I would like to pray for you. So what I'd like for you to do is, I'd like for you to just take your personal belonging quickly and quickly come to the front. I want to pray for you. Quickly, let's just give them a hand as they come this morning. Quickly give them a hand as they come this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Quickly, come. Quickly, quickly, quickly. You just come and stand right here for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just look at me, thank you. You can just close your eyes. Just open up your hands as a sign of surrender. And this morning the Bible says that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, he will come and he will save us. This morning your life is going to change, not just for now, but for eternity. So just say this after me this morning. Everybody repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God the Son. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again. Lord Jesus, thank you for changing my life. Thank you for forgiving all of my sins. Thank you for giving me a brand new start. I'm going to live for you, Jesus. Spirit, soul, and body. Father, I just want to thank you for this young lady. Thank you so much that her life will never be the same ever again. I thank you, Lord, that right now she'll just experience your love, Father, and your peace in her life and your joy in her life. Thank you, Lord, that you've got a great plan for her, awesome plan. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do great things in her life. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We've got somebody that would just like to spend a minute with you. Just want to give you something. We don't want you to leave empty-handed. Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Remember, there's church again this evening. We love you guys. We love our pastor. If you need any prayer or counseling, please feel free to come to the front as you go. Thanks a lot.